Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai show, where we had a big show for you today. We talked about St. Patrick's Day, airdrops to Gaza, cafeteria shutting down, and one record-setting expat.
And so we would really love if you can subscribe to the Love in Dubai show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. Enjoy the show as always.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to Love and Dubai show. Happy Monday, Rabia and Kareem, where we go through all of the top trending stories across the country. Our top story for you today, the UAE's 10th airdrop arrives in Gaza.
And sadly, another cafeteria shut down in Abu Dhabi for, of course, health violations.
We are talking about a record-setting expat who ran 7 Emirates in under 6 days.
And as well, Drake hints on a possible concert in Dubai after receiving an invite from the consulate.
And our new segment, Love and Loves, where we take you through something that we love. And jumping on, it is day 164 since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen to 31,645 people, while 73,676 have been injured, and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Dubai Iftar time today is 6:32 p.m. You can find, of course, the up-to-date prayer times on Love in Dubai website.
Today is March 18th. Good morning to everyone tuning in on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and our podcast listeners. We love to see your podcast before, during, and after the show. The reason I said today is March 18th is because yesterday was a very special day for the Irish people. It was March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, where it is our national day and everyone gets out. We have parades, we have food, yes. We have lots of drinks, we have dancing, and that is St. Patrick's Day.
Well, happy National Day to you, Katie, you're Irish. If you guys don't know, Katie is Irish, and it is beautiful. I just love the Irish culture. The more that I sit with you, the more that you tell me, the more I'm like, wow, you guys are so in tune with love, peace, and harmony all the time. It's just beautiful. Just wonder that you guys have a singles day.
She says that because before the show I was going through, and I was going through kind of quirky things about Ireland, and of course we have a matchmaking festival every summer, because I wanted to run through things. I think there's like specific Irish stereotypes that you might expect from Irish people, so I wanted to run through a couple of things that people may not know. And one of the things here is that you can see our Taoiseach, which is like the equivalent of our Prime Minister, he's speaking yesterday in front of Joe Biden, and he's answering the question of why Irish have empathy for Palestine. So he used the global stage to basically talk about why we empathize. And I thought it was quite a powerful speech that I wanted to run through.
Go on.
So he spoke about our history, and he said in their eyes, basically the empathy that we have, excuse me, let me start that again because I need to run through it exactly. He said that our history is similar, is that there is a story of displacement, dispossession, national identity questioned and denied, forced immigration, discrimination and hunger. So he said to the US, we support your work and your administration to secure a ceasefire and to create a space of lasting peace. And he said it much better than I did. And he said a lot more. So if you want to jump on, it's going viral now, and especially we've got it on Twitter as well. So you can see him there speaking up as to why the Irish people empathize with Palestine, is that we have a similar history. And it's one thing that people may not know. And you see at the moment many Irish people representing in the UN, for example, speaking very strongly for Gaza. And it's because we have a similar history in that. And that's what he's saying. But there's a number of things that people may not know about Ireland. And that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Of course, Casey, I would love to know. Because, you know, actually, I feel like genuinely, you know, like, of course, I'm not saying that this country has, they just have a personality or something, but genuinely, I feel like Irish people are so peaceful, because my English teacher at high school was Irish, and he was the sweetest person ever, and I just loved him so much. And he would, because we would have like Shakespearean novels, and we would like, you know, read them and so on, and he would explain them to us, and he would explain them very beautifully, and I'm like, you guys are so artistic and musical.
Well, artistic being, there's three quite, we have Paul Mescal, Cillian Murphy, Barry Keoghan, so three big actors. Cillian Murphy just got an Oscar, first ever Irishman to do it. But interesting that you say peaceful, And that potentially that we avoid conflict, because one thing that I wanted to bring up is the Irish exit.
Okay.
I don't think this is an Arab thing. No. If you ever heard of an Irish exit, they're actually very handy. Mm-hmm. So an Irish exit is if you're at a party and you don't want to say goodbye, because saying goodbye, A, it causes a fuss. B, you have to go around and say goodbye to everyone. And C, people might make you stay. If you want to leave, an Irish exit is going without telling anyone. So go out the side door, go out the back door, and then you never have to say goodbye. And I'll tell you, no one notices.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You guys are so peaceful. You know what I mean?
Like avoiding all matters of conversation and conflict.
Of course, literally. I mean, you know what's like the funny thing is that for Arabs, we are loud. We are loud. You know what I mean? Like we are loud even with our actions. We are loud. Like we don't say bye. We don't just exit. We need to go and say bye to the whole family and the whole, I would say, everyone who's there at the gathering or at the party. We have to say bye. We have to kiss. We have to hug.
I'm just telling you, there's this thing, it's called an Irish exit, and it's going to remove all of that fuss from your life. And it's not just an Irish thing. I know that people, I remember having this discussion with, I can't remember where they were from, a European country. And they were like, what is, and they had a different phrase for it. Okay. But it's you just leave a party and no one has to bother you. You're not bothering them. Because also, I think you upset the flow of a party. If you're leaving like 2 hours early and then people know you've left and then they're thinking they'll leave and it upsets the flow. So you just nip out the back door. Oh. No one needs to know any better. You send a thank you message later, and that is an Irish exit.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying, Casey, you guys are peaceful. I mean, I swear, you guys are so peaceful, and so I would say like quiet and content, and just like that. You know what I mean? However, like I wish I could relate, because sometimes, you know, it gets awkward when you want to say bye and they go like, oh no, stay, have this.
This is what I'm saying. Irish exit.
Yeah, I mean, this is maybe, I think I would want to start practicing it.
We might be peaceful, but I don't think we're quiet. And the last thing I wanted to bring up was, this is Lindsay Lohan. Yes. She's Irish. Mm-hmm. No, she's not. But she happens to always appear in cheesy rom-com Irish movies, which we love. And this is trending on Netflix right now. And what she does in the movie, I don't think it's a thing, but if you're Irish, correct me if I'm wrong. She goes to a beautiful place in Ireland. She sits on a stone and makes a wish. However, in old traditional Irish storytelling, you can actually go to a stone.
Okay.
And you kiss the stone. Mm-hmm. And it's if you kiss the stone, so you're kissing the Balardi stone,
okay,
you get the gift of the gab.
Okay, have you ever done that?
I've never done it. I should do it. Mm. But it basically means the gift of the gab. You'll learn how to talk.
Wow.
And you'll be able to have great conversations for the rest of your life. So she's not kissing the stone, but
she's sitting
wishing on the stone.
I mean, I have always heard, by the way, that Ireland is beautiful, and specifically now that my cousin lives in London, she has visited Ireland, and she's like, Farah, it's the most peaceful country ever. And I'm like, yeah, well, my boss is Irish, so tell me more. And I mean, I've never heard of the stone, and I'm learning more and more about the Irish culture, which is beautiful.
Watch the culture. Irish Wish, because it's very true to life. No, it's not. It's but it makes Ireland look phenomenal. I'm like, was it even shot in Ireland? Like, they obviously use these amazing cameras, the most glorious scenery. But Ireland is beautiful. It is absolutely stunning. It's so green.
Yes.
Unfortunately, she doesn't have a roof, so it rains all the time. And if it didn't rain, everyone in the world would live there. I think
so too.
Unfortunately, it rains.
No, I think so too. And the thing is, again, I would repeat, like, your culture and as well the country. You know, of course, I'm saying this from my cousin's perspective because she has been to Ireland. So I would say it's beautiful and very peaceful. Yeah, because that's what she has told me. She was like, Farah, listen, I've been there and it's beautiful.
I wonder what exactly she means by peaceful, but we are. I do miss home, particularly on days like St. Patrick's Day.
That is so. Well, happy National Day again to you and everyone who's Irish watching us.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Let's bring us into our top story of the day. This video is going to be going live on our Instagram very shortly, so you'll be able to see it. So jumping in, the UAE has dropped its 10th airdrop to the people of Gaza. Excuse me, so on the seventh day of the holy month of Ramadan, the Joint Operations Command of the Ministry of Defense completed the 10th airdrop, which you can see behind us, and relief aid by the UAE Air Force and the Egyptian Air Force in the northern Gaza Strip as part of the Birds of Goodness operation.
Now, joint teams from both countries carried out the operation using aircraft carrying about 33 tons of food and medical aid, bringing the total of 438 tons since the operation's launch. Operation Birds of Goodness is part of the Chivalrous Knights 3 humanitarian operation, which was launched in line with the directives of President His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan to support the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip.
Charities in the UAE, including the Emirates Red Crescent, ERC, the Khalifa bin Zayed Al Nahyan Foundation, the Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan Charitable and Humanitarian Foundation, help. So basically this aid comes from those charities with one sole aim: to help the people of Gaza.
Again, the UAE has shown its support to Gaza in so many ways and just never stops. Of course, you know, people might forget, people might, you know, not pay attention anymore, but the UAE just keeps on showing up to Gaza, and that's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah,
ever.
I do agree, and but I also just think it's so, like, this video behind us is very powerful. It's people thanking the UAE, but it's just, it's so sad. Like, the thing is, we don't want their thanks, you know, because I know so many of you contributed to Emirates ERC, Emirates Red Crescent, the largest charitable giving authority here in Dubai. It's such an easy way to donate. You can donate money, you can donate goods, and I know so many of you have, but we don't need thanks. We don't want thanks. We just want, as the Taoiseach of Ireland asked, a quick and long-term ceasefire solution.
That's true. I mean, hopefully a ceasefire is going to be coming very soon, but the fact that, you know, they are going up and beyond, airdropping literally food and medical aid, is just exactly what has been needed for so long. So guys, now let's jump to our next story, which is a story close to my heart, if you guys don't know. Of course, another cafeteria shut down in Abu Dhabi for health violations. We have mentioned before the cafeteria culture all around the country, UAE, but the Al Nidham restaurant located in Abu Dhabi has been closed due to violating safety regulations.
So taking to their social media channel, the Abu Dhabi Agriculture and Food Safety Authority, that's ADAFSA, if you want to check it out, they took action against this restaurant, saying its practices posed a significant risk to public health.
The authority as well urged the public to report food safety violations and complaints by calling 800-555. Let me tell you, this is the second story that we have mentioned about another cafeteria being shut down in Abu Dhabi. And it's very sad because, if you guys, we've mentioned that, you know, the cafeteria culture in the UAE is very prominent and it's very, I would say, loud in a way. And if you would ask anyone who is born in the UAE if they would prefer a fancy restaurant over a cafeteria, for sure that they're gonna say cafeteria, which is what Fadi has mentioned when we've asked him, because it is a thing, right? But of course, you know, there are many amazing cafeterias like Al Ijaza cafeteria that is very close to my heart. We go there almost every weekend before Ramadan,
which are open, obviously.
Of course, which are open. And oh my god, their paratas, by the way, if you want to go, the best parata, get taqous with cheese and chips Oman. Wow.
Delish.
Yeah. And as well, dynamite shrimp sauce is like, you can ask for it on the side. Oh my God, it's amazing.
But this topic of food violation regulation, I think it's really interesting. And my mom worked in the food industry, and how strict the regulation is on kitchens. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think you might, you know, recoil a bit. That's when you hear a restaurant has been shut down by food for food violation allegations, regulations. However, it's so strict. I was speaking to another restaurant owner only last week. She said, our kitchen is sparkling clean. It's the what they need to do to achieve public health safety level. Like, you need to be a perfection. So what can happen sometimes is a restaurant might be called out for a food violation, they'll get shut down, they'll do what they need to do in terms of like get all the boxes ticked, and they'll be back up and running in a month or two. That is what happens. So potentially this restaurant probably is not closed long term, they just have a couple of things that they'll need to do to get back to the public tick of safety.
That's true, of course, because like they, the fact, you know, like the UAE is aware of the cafeteria culture, and they are as well aware of what they want to give away to their residents of in terms of like safety and cleanliness, right? Of course. And like everyone, no one's gonna go into a cafeteria and just like know or eat knowing that the food is unhygienic or like not done properly in so many ways, you know what I mean? Because like, yeah, my mom, they go like, oh Farah, you know, you love cafeterias, but do you know what happens inside? And I said, her mom, I go to the Ijaza cafeteria and they are clean, they are so good. And if they are not so good, they would not be open till now, right? But such, I would say, like for example, like the Nidam restaurant and other restaurants that are actually shut down, they're shut down because they are not practicing the regulations. Yes, the cafeteria culture can still be there, can still look like, oh yeah, it's very like down low, very down to earth, not very high.
But they're clean.
You know what I mean? No, not very, I would say, high standards and so on, but that's the point, you know, like you can make it like look like it's on the low without making it look like it's on the low, you know, like low effort but not really low effort. It's like no,
I think you're saying just because it's casual doesn't mean it's unhygienic.
Exactly.
I think the majority basically are, and we know that there's quite strict rules to make sure that they are, so in general we can assume that where we're eating is pretty clean.
Yes, 100%. So
8:47 on this Monday morning, we hope you're having a beautiful morning. I don't know about you, but it was very hard to get out of bed today. But someone who does not struggle in that department, record-setting expat runs 7 Emirates in under 6 days, breaking a record. So British expat Evren Uzka set the world record running through 7 Emirates in under 6 days. Absolutely phenomenal achievement. He started his journey in Al Gwaifat, passing through the E11 road for over 400 kilometers, went through Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah, Ajman, Umm Al Quwain, and ended on the coastline of Fujairah.
As well, people saw him at Kite Beach, and he even ran through a thunderstorm to achieve this record. And finally, just at before 3 a.m. on Sunday, March 10, Evren had entered the coastline of Fujairah, and a new record was set.
In summary, Evren successfully ran 630 kilometers in just under 6 days, passing through all 7 Emirates. 630 kilometers in under 6 days. So I think people have done previously 7 Emirates, 7 days.
Yeah.
Day rest, day rest, day rest. That makes sense. But he obviously went out intentionally to break this world record and do it in under that time. And I think what he's doing, congratulations, but is also setting a precedent of other people trying to beat that record. So we should get the exact timing and see, but that's 630 kilometers. It's no easy feat. And as you said, he did it during a record storm. So well done, Evren.
I mean, honestly, I would like to know, what vitamins are you on? I mean, what vitamins are you on to have that much power and that much, I would say, stamina to... Yeah, he has, exactly, yeah. We have actually interviewed him, and he did say that he has his own nutrition line, but I'm so good with nutrition and so on.
What a tick for marketing, by the way. Sorry. For you to be like, I wonder what nutrition he's on. Ah, he has his own nutrition line. Amazing. He's been on the show talking about it. This is not a sponsored ad. This is phenomenal what he's done.
It is, but still, you know what I mean? Like, I know that nutrition is very essential, right? I had cholesterol and I've healed it through nutrition, but I still sometimes go like, oh my God, I would Google like vitamins to have more energy, vitamins to be more awake, vitamins for this. But it's like, yeah, I would never be able to do that. You know what I mean? But I need to do that. Like, be able to run maybe 0.1% of how much he runs. I think that, I don't think I would even reach.
You could do that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't run that long. You know, I walk, I don't run because I'm just... Yeah, I was.
It's if you wanted to. Like, no one's going to turn around tomorrow and be able to do what he did. But if you genuinely wanted to become a runner, if it's something you really wanted, I have no doubt you could do it.
So, guys, Casey's here for the good advice. If you want it, you can do it. If you want it, you can do it, girl. For sure. Maybe.
This is something I want. Please say it's happening, because I don't actually know the background of the story, so give me the good news.
I will tell you. So, you guys, you need to hear this. Drake hints on a possible concert in Dubai after receiving an invite from the consulate. Drake received an envelope from a UAE consulate and posted it, of course, on his social media, sparking rumors that he might be performing soon in Dubai, as, of course, fans have gone wild with their conspiracies as they wonder what Drake might be hinting at.
Yeah, I think we mentioned there that he will be performing. It's all a rumor. The last time the Canadian superstar graced the stage in Dubai was back in 2015. It was a sensational concert at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium and has not come to perform ever since.
Of course, but with his new album, which is called For All Dogs, being out, he might be, you know, setting a tour and Dubai might be acknowledging it and being like, hey, hi, Drake. Hello, have you become?
How is that the last time he's performed? Because I'm feeling really old here. One of my best nights ever in Dubai was when I went out. It was a ladies' night. He was performing and it was free in.
I don't know. It was,
and I moved here in 2013. I think this was his, I think that was his last kind of bigger event, but he actually loves the UAE. He even makes references to the regions in his songs. And I know he's done kind of smaller gigs.
By the way, I love Drake. I'm a huge, huge Drake fan. Once upon a time, I believed in my head I was going to marry him. Of course, I was not going to marry him.
As all like, crushes really, go.
Literally. I just thought I was going to marry him, but he has in his song, Habibi Into Ana Ahlas. Like, he tried to say Arabic and everyone made fun of him.
What does that mean? TikTok.
Habibi, like Habibi, yeah. You know, my love. Inti wa ana, inti ana, like you and me, ahla. You and me are better. Better. So cute. It was like funny, and he couldn't pronounce it because, like, you know, like how, you know, like, I don't think he can say like the ha.
But we gotta love a trier.
Yeah, he tried, but he did not. Yeah, I think Masa and Ali can agree with me because it has been all over TikTok.
I'd love to get your thoughts on
because
that, though.
Because he did not even say it.
But isn't it like we had Nasir here, who's a comedian from America with Arab roots, and speaking about popularizing Arab culture in the West, and how do you do that? And for Drake to speak Arabic in his song, even if he's not nailing it, it's so powerful. It's so powerful because it normalizes it to the West. So, like, I butcher names all the time, so maybe this is why I'm taking his side. But good on him.
It is. By the way, everyone loved the album. Everyone loved the songs, and I personally love the album as well, right? But it's just like, you know, as an Arab and hearing Drake say "Habibi into ana ahla" and not being able to say "into ana ahla," saying it and saying it like just like butchering the full words. And it, by the way, like, you know, like in Arabic, if you mix up one letter, the whole meaning changes. I'm not even joking. It's like the whole meaning changes. And I think Masa and Ali can agree with me on this because it was all over TikTok and everyone was like, kind of like, it's like, you know, like when you make fun of like your cousin, your baby cousin that said something cute, something like, it was not
They're like, oh, he's trying, yeah, smiley he's face. Exactly. He's making an effort, cutie.
Literally. And all Arabs were like, it was like all over TikTok, like, oh, Habibi, into ana ahla. And it was like so cute. I was one of them. I was like,
if Drake came out and said something in Irish, I'd be like, yes, Drake. We would love it. We'd love it. Yeah. Like anything that, you know, puts us on a stage. You know what I mean?
Like,
at the end of his Oscars speech, Cillian Murphy said, "Gur Mhaoibh Amagat." I think he said basically,
which is,
thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, but you know, like, again, like, we know that Drake writes raps about like love and all of these things, you know, his life and so on. So for him to be like Habibi into ana ahla and him not being able to say the word ahla,
and ahla.
Yes, exactly. See, you said it even better than he did, by the way. Yeah, you know, he said it, he just butchered full on words. It was one letter, but that one letter changed the whole meaning.
So, well, Drake fans out there, you've got two sitting in front of you. We don't know if he's coming. This is all a massive rumor.
Why would he post this then?
Teasing that he might be by posting this image. It's a teaser.
Yeah.
It's a teaser. 8:55, let's jump into our final story of the day. This is a new segment that we call Lovin' Loves. And I'm going to take this week's, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about a place that I love, in a place called JLT. It's in the park. It's called Splendor Fields.
It looks beautiful, honestly. It looks amazing.
So I didn't want to do something that's too food focused, but I genuinely live in Spenderfields. I think all the staff know me. Like, I'm there for like 2 or 3 hours every Saturday, most Sundays. And
you just expose yourself where you are every Saturday.
This is where I am every Saturday, Sunday. Come say hi. And it's owned by Tom Arnold. So they brought, you know, Tom and Serge. It's the EDX groups. So they also have the Guild. They've got Byron Bathers, so many locations around Dubai. They do amazing breakfast. But the reason I wanted to highlight them this week is because not only is it amazing food, but they also have an amazing deli. So when I was there this weekend, we were able to pack a picnic and bring it out to the desert for sunset.
That's beautiful.
So they have salads, they've got things. So this is actually obviously a desert shot. This is not Spenderfields. This is beautiful Spenderfields JLT. And you don't get that many amazing picnic packing deli spots. They've got salads and, you know, lots of like sweet treats and all things that we could pop into a bag and bring it out. So that's what we did this weekend. We were able to go there and then pack our picnic, and then for sunset we were out in the desert, which, by the way, so many cars out there, and we came in as it was as the sun was coming down and it was getting darker, and there was like music, people, like families just enjoying themselves, everyone kind of giving enough space because you don't want to be too close to the next car. Bit of rubbish. Which was such a shame to see. More rubbish than I've seen in a while. But other than that, such a lovely way to spend an evening.
It is. Honestly, the place seems to be really nice. And it seems like, you know what, maybe after Ramadan, I'll for sure bring my friends. Like, guys, I know a spot. And they're going to be like, Farah, how do you know the spot? I'm going to be like, I just know. Just to take some credit. Just to take some credit. Because my friends all the time, they just like figure out all of these spots. And it looks like a very beautiful spot and greenery and just like beautiful. And I love breakfast. I love morning hangouts rather than night ones.
Same. And it's a great spot for after Ramadan. And even as it gets hot, they've got floor-to-ceiling windows. Not many places kind of give you a bit of nature when the summer comes in, but this will be one of them. I think that these places, while they're beautiful indoors as much as outdoors. But that's Spenderfields. It's in JLT. I absolutely love it. And like I said, obviously with people fasting, you can go pack a picnic, and as the sun sets, you'll have a great iftar.
I mean, the thing is, you know what happens is before, when people are fasting, before they break their fast, the first few hours of the day, they find they do have some energy. But then, let's say it reaches like 1 p.m., they slowly start to crash down a bit and a bit and a bit. And then it's like, ugh. They're like khalas, they're like done, and they want food. And then it's like, it's beautiful. I would love to go there, but I would go there after Ramadan.
Yeah, of course.
You know, for breakfast.
100%. Because, it is a breakfast spot. Wait till after Ramadan to really enjoy it, for sure. So. They do main courses and things, but it's primarily breakfast.
I think, you know, because for Eid, I would tell my family like, hey, I know a spot, we can go there. Because, you know, Eid al-Fitr is technically like, it's called Eid al-Fitr. It's, you celebrate, you know, your first breakfast the next day.
Yeah, of course.
Fitr means breakfast. And Eid means like celebrating breakfast. So, you know, it's technically like that. So it's ideal for like the family to celebrate breakfast all together the next day.
So, and would you go anywhere specific, usually?
Usually what happens is, depends from one family to another, but for my family, what they do is they get a lot of like proper authentic breakfast, and they just like have it on the table, and the whole family gathers, and the whole family comes, and so, but maybe I'd be like, guys, I know a spot.
Well, for another day. So that's Lovin' Loves Spenderfields. You'll find it in the park in JLT. That brings us to the end of our show on this Monday morning. We hope you have a fabulous day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.